Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gaberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. We only have a limited amount of time to make a positive impact in the lives that we touch. This fact taps into our need to contribute, which is one of the three core areas of life. The other two are health and wealth. We'll be talking about all three of those in this episode. Today's guest is the founder of the Greatness Foundation and the co-founder of Greatness Media. He creates inspiring content, works closely with purpose-driven individuals and organizations, explores the world, and contributes in the best way he can, learning the importance of integrity, honor, and hard work during his time on active duty in the United States Marine Corps. Today's guest is fascinated with optimizing human potential. Today's guest for episode 111 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Mike Scherbakov. Mike, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, thank you for having me on, brother.
Mike, I really can't wait to dive deep into this one. And before we do, I always love to get some backstory. So can you just give us an idea of why you started the Greatness Foundation?
Yes. I'll do that as quickly as I can. It really comes down to curiosity. It comes down to aligning my values, my passions, what I feel like I'm here to do. As you mentioned in the intro, I spent 5 years on active duty in the Marines and became very quickly fascinated with human potential and what we could do. So in the Marines, you learn very quickly that when you're ready to quit, you're only a fraction of the way there of what you're actually capable of. And I started studying psychology once I left the Marines, double majored in kinesiology and psychology to really understand what it is we can do with our mind. If on the physical landscape, we only operated at a fraction of what we were capable of, what about mentally? And I started to learn about yoga and learning about spiritually, you know, studying personal development, emotionally, what we could do. And then all of a sudden it led me to this realization of what if we could give more than we ever thought? And the moment that I really started to commit my life to contribution and to giving, I found deeper level of joy than I had ever experienced. And that's really what the Greatness Foundation boils down to at the fundamental level, is really providing the opportunity for people to give and contribute in a meaningful way.
And for anyone who wants to stay in tabs with the Greatness Foundation, you can head over to thegreatnessfoundation.com to see more of all the work that Mike's doing to help optimize that human potential. And I really find it interesting that, like, people in the military, like, there are so many awesome insights you get. Like, there's something that's like, if you think you're done, then you're only 40% done. And I feel like an outsider perspective, like, you can see that and be like, you could feel the impact of that idea. But what do you think is the difference between, like, being an outsider versus being an insider and being able to see that human potential, like, right in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have different ways where we come to realize that potential. And I just feel very blessed that I had the experience of the Marines to show me that. I think, you know, when we experience death, whether it's a friend or a loved one or, you know, someone close to us, if someone that's listening has experienced that, it really makes you begin to think about what's most important in your life. And all of a sudden you start doing things that are more important to you and things that matter, right? For some people, it's a rock bottom, maybe with, financially or drugs or alcohol. And they have this kind of clarity, this moment, this realization where, wait a second, I feel like my potential is a lot more than what I'm currently doing. So whether it's the military or whether it's this, you know, facing death or whether it's a rock bottom that someone experiences, we all kind of experience it on our own different ways. Joseph Campbell, who's one of my favorite people, famous for creating his narrative of the hero's journey. He calls it, you know, at some point in our lives, we all have a call to action or a call to adventure. And it's all about answering that call, following that curiosity and that passion and what it is that we're here to do. So that really, to me, ties into potential. Potential is what it is we're meant to become. As Abraham Maslow, if anyone that studied psychology remembers him, he talks about a need for self-actualization. He says, what one can be, one must be. And so to me, that is potential. It's what are we here to do in our lifetimes, and how do we begin to actualize that?
And these are thoughts that we should be having, like, now, instead of looking back and thinking about what we could have done. So I love that we're having this conversation so people can think about some of the areas where they can do more to tap into their full potential. But when it comes to tapping into your full potential in life, we mentioned those three core areas: health, wealth, and contribution earlier. And I'm wondering, how can we achieve all three of them? Because it feels like there's that classic Dalai Lama quote where people will sacrifice their health for the first year to achieve wealth, and then on the second half, they will use all their wealth to regain their health. So how are we able to achieve all three of those?
I'll start by saying that there's much more than just that. Those are the ones that I found are kind of the most common ones, where if you ask someone, well, what area of your life do you want to improve, right, across the general landscape? Most people will say, well, I want to improve my health, right? For some people, it's losing weight. Others, it's, you know, adding muscle, it's feeling healthier. So that's just, it's a very common interest for people. Wealth, I would say a lot of people you speak to, well, what do you want in life? They say, I want to make more money, right, in order to give and contribute more. And then the other one is contribution. I talk to a lot of people that say, I just want to help people. So of course there are other, you know, desires and needs that people have. There's other areas where they're looking to actualize that potential, but I've just found those are probably the three most common ones. And the answer to your question of how do you do all three is, well, you start with something. The most common thing that I see is getting overwhelmed with there's so much to do that people end up doing nothing, right? So any action in any direction is better than nothing at all. And so it comes down to an intuition of what do you feel like needs the most focus in your life right now? And how do you begin to put together something, some kind of daily actionable habits that are actually moving you closer towards that goal, knowing it's not going to happen overnight? But, you know, it comes back to that same conversation I was just sharing with you that, you know, you lose someone close to you and you have this realization of what's most important in your life. You begin to understand how important health is. You begin to understand how important giving is, how important, you know, time with loved ones is. And so naturally, instead of just thinking about it, you start doing it. So the very simple answer to your question, Mark, is you actually just start doing it.
And it's such a simple answer, like just do it. But it's also like, just because something's simple doesn't necessarily mean that it's the easiest thing, but you can really break it down into small actions to move yourself towards those three areas that a lot of people think about that they want more success in. And what are some of the actions that you're able to do that you see success in when you're trying to go on the road towards health, wealth, and contribution?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's certainly been a long process, and I continue to iterate and find the things that work really well for me and slowly chip away at the things that aren't. I feel like I've removed a lot of the big ones, but I'm always looking for ways to optimize, right? So a simple one for me is television. I remember 6 years ago, I did a little time audit of how much TV I was watching. So I mentioned I spent 5 years in the Marines and then I went to college after. So in college, I remember being with my roommates and, you know, the TV was on a Sunday and football was on. And I used to really be into football. I grew up playing sports and everything. So, you know, I find myself, all right, I watch a little bit of the game. It was 45 minutes here. Then I'd go do something, come back. I'd watch another 45 minutes and come back and maybe another 2 hours. And all of a sudden, I looked at the end of the day and I was probably spending between 4 and 5 hours a day of watching TV. On Sundays, certainly more than, you know, during the week. And I thought, wait a second, what if I actually started taking this time? And I didn't realize it because there were just these little chunks and, you know, my friends were doing it and it was just this normal thing. And, you know, whether it's TV for someone or it's going out on a Friday and Saturday night, right? That was me too, is you go out on a Friday night and not only was I wasting the time of being out, but then the next morning when you feel like crap, how much time is being wasted because you're not in an optimal state where you can, you know, think clearly and do the things you want to do. So I bring up TV as an example because it probably shows up in one area or another for people in their life, right? Maybe they're focusing and they're spending time on things that just don't matter. So little by little, TV, I haven't had a TV in 6 years. So just cut that out. Then with the going out thing, I just realized, you know, this isn't really what I want to be doing. So that cut out from my life. Then I thought, I feel a lot better when I eat more plant-based. And I removed some of the heavier foods that I was eating. And so now, you know, probably 90% whole food, plant-based. And so there are these little things that I just kept listening to in my body and in my mind and started noticing, do I feel better? Do I feel more productive? Am I, you know, living in a more meaningful way with certain actions and habits? And how do I start to do more of those?
And in that answer, I saw two things happening at once. The first thing was that you're cutting off these bad habits, but you're also optimizing. I mean, like, people wouldn't like, I mean, eating meat, a lot of meat, something like that. I mean, like, that's not like a bad habit, but like, you realize that you perform at a higher level by giving up these things that some people, like, they would keep it. It wouldn't really hurt like too much. But the fact that it hurts a little means that there's more potential to be optimized. But just before we talk about optimizing our potential, I'd like to go back and talk about how you were able to get rid of those habits, like get rid of the TV and some of the other things you were doing. Because I think before we get to optimizing, we have to get rid of some of the obvious bad habits that are really sucking away our time. So how are you able to do that?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. What I want to clarify is I don't know if I agree with there are bad habits or good habits or anything like that. I think we each get to decide for ourselves. For some people, TV may be their thing, and I don't want to tell them to not watch TV, right? I'm not here to tell anyone what to do or what not to do. All I know in my life, based on my goals and what I feel like I'm here to do in my lifetime, TV is not a productive use of my time. It's not conducive to my mission. Right. And so I think individually, for people to really be honest with themselves, and maybe this is why I love yoga and meditation, mindfulness as much as I do, is because when you take that time to be still and to truly take a moment and reflect on where you are in your life and the kinds of thoughts that you have, the kinds of words that you use, because we know words shape our reality, thoughts shape our reality. When you start noticing those things, it becomes intuitively apparent what it is that needs to be changed or optimized. And so all of those, the TV and the going out on Friday, Saturday nights, and, you know, removing certain toxic people from my life and spending more time with people who inspired me or eating healthier foods, these things just felt like something that I needed to do. When I would sit and be with myself and say, okay, I feel grateful with where I am today. I feel very blessed that I, you know, have this healthy body and this healthy mind. And what area can I improve in? Because I think as humans, this is, again, to come back to Abraham Maslow, the self-actualization. There is always room for us to improve. Always. I have a long way to go. You have a long way. We all do. You know, until the day that I'm not here. And I feel like if I ever get to the point where I feel like, all right, I've done it all, there's nothing else I can improve, then that's all ego talking. That's, you know, like, you've defeated the purpose of our existence, I feel like. I think it's this constant striving to become better is really what gives us purpose. And that's, again, this is just my opinion on this kind of stuff. But, you know, to answer your question, wherever someone is in their life, wherever I am in my life, I'm always going to look at it and say, where can I improve? How can I begin to let go of some of the things that I don't need in my life? And how do I start to bring in more of the things that inspire me, encourage me, and make me feel like I'm doing something productive and meaningful with my time?
I love asking questions about unlocking your full potential. And I believe you really hit it right on the head where, like, you have this idea of what you would be like if you unlocked your potential. But if you reach that point, then you're back to this is what else I need to be doing to further unlock my potential. So I don't really feel like it's one of those things where, like, you see the point, but as you get close to it, just moves away from you as you continue challenging yourself to pursue more and to be more. And how do you recommend optimizing your potential? Like, we talked about, like, in some cases, people may have to get rid of the TV. In other cases, that may not be you, because you may benefit from the TV. That may be your break or something like that. helps you, but how do you then optimize your potential once you have a foundation?
Yeah. To me, it comes down to getting clear. You know, I think clarity precedes success. I think having clarity on what it is you're here to do, what your larger mission is in life. And from there, you can begin to reverse engineer certain things, right? So what you would realize by moving backward of what the bigger mission is, what kind of habits would someone that accomplishes that need to embody in order to accomplish it, right? I love looking, you know, I had this goal of, I said it 2 years ago, so in the next 3 years, of sitting at a round table with Richard Branson, Elon Musk, and Bill Gates to talk about how to solve some of the world's biggest problems. And I've told this to my friends and my family, and they're all like, yeah, you're going to do it. There's no doubt in my mind, right? And I love to think about those three and, you know, how do they spend their time? Do you think they just sit around wasting their time? You know, no do you, yeah. And then I think of the kind of people. Do you think that they have people in their life or spend a lot of time with people who don't inspire them, push them? I feel like, you know, you just, those are great examples to me of there's always room to grow. No matter how, like, we could look at those guys and say, wow, they've accomplished so much. Like, Elon could go retire on an island somewhere and never be seen again. And yet he continues to push the envelope. That's why I love it, because what an example of potential, right? He's accomplished so much and yet continues to push beyond what most people even imagine. And Bill Gates doing the same thing in terms of philanthropy and what he's doing for global development, right? So to me, it's all this constant process of self assessment, of a true internal reflection of and being really honest with ourselves of, if I have this big mission in mind, what is it that I need to start doing more of, and what is it that I need to start doing less of in order to accomplish what I'm here to do?
It's really fascinating that you study people like Musk and Bill Gates. I mean, like, it makes total sense to be doing that, but I feel like not enough people are taking a look at some of these, like, most influential, successful people who are doing what they're already doing. And one thing that I've noticed about these people, like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, are, like, really close friends. So I feel like what these people do is, like, they'll surround themselves with each other. Like, they're like the millionaires hang out with the millionaires, for instance. So how would you recommend surrounding yourself with people who have achieved the status that you want to achieve?
Great question. The answer is as simple as the question is find the people that inspire you and spend time with them. I remember at different points in my life there, I look around and see the quality of people in my life right now, and it blows me away. In fact, I just put up a post about it today about, I look at my friends and I feel like I won the lottery. Because all of them are just inspiring the heck out of me with what they're doing and how they show up and the kinds of things that they value. It was not always that way. I remember looking around and maybe I had one or two friends that inspired me, but I just learned, okay, they inspired me. Let me start spending more time with them. And as I did, more people started to show up. And then maybe I had three or four friends that really inspired me. And I started spending more time with them. And all of a sudden, more and more people start showing up in your life, right? And so you know, we live in such an interesting and amazing time where through social media, I mean, you and I, you know, connected initially because of social media. We can connect with people around the world in ways we've never done before, right? We can learn about people in ways we've never done before. We can attend events, and there are, you know, like really inexpensive events that people can go to all around the world for, you know, $100 ticket. You're around hundreds, if not thousands, of, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs or people with a similar mindset, depending whatever people are into. You know, I go to I'm really into, you know, blockchain and cryptocurrency and philanthropy. So I go to a lot of those kinds of conferences, but they have conferences and seminars and workshops for whatever it is you're into. You know, let's say you really like cars as an example. I don't really care for cars, but let's say you do. There are car works, you know, seminars and conferences all over the world. Like right now, CES is going on in Las Vegas. If you're into electronics, you can go out there. There's no shortage of people around the world to inspire you. You just have to go out and find them.
And I mean, there, when I first heard your answer, it did seem like something so simple. Again, it's just going out and finding these people, similar to how we met. And like, if you look at a lot of podcasts like this one, like the host is interviewing a lot of these big role models, like how I've been lucky enough to do for my podcast. So I feel like people will, when they look at the people who are really successful, they'll think that those people are out of reach, but anyone is really reachable if you're just willing to put the time to nurture the relationship.
Yeah. And you know, at the end of the day, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. That's really important. Is you may get 10 no's, right, initially when you reach out. I don't think that that's going to be the case, because most people that I've found that have accomplished pretty big things, they're excited to share it with other people. And, you know, they're always looking for other areas that they can give back and help. So, but yeah, it's as simple as finding them, reaching out and finding ways that you can add value to them.
And I mean, with all these people who, like, even the Musk and like the Gates of the world who were really successful, it is amazing all the challenges that they've had to face and all of us have to face in order to reach where we are and reach our future goals. And with that in mind, Mike, I was wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Let me think of the most recent one, because there's a ton, right? I always love to say, find someone that you feel like has accomplished a ton and try to find someone that's never failed in their life, right? Like, the people who have accomplished the most in their lives have truly failed the most. And that's really important to remember. So for me, I would say, from a challenge perspective, I'll say with Greatness Media. So the three things that I focus my time on right now are Greatness Foundation, which is the global nonprofit, humanitarian work we do, cryptocurrency, blockchain, and that world, and then Greatness Media. As we were growing Greatness Media, one of the big challenges that we faced was we had customers asking us to start to move outside of our scope of service. So they wanted us to start going wider. And initially, I wanted to appeal to them. And as CEO, kind of made the decision of, yeah, let's start expanding our service offering. And as we did, we really spread out the resources of the team. And we really didn't follow through on some of these services that we initially didn't plan to offer, but then said, okay, we're going to do. And we got to the point where we almost had to shut down, if I'm being completely honest here, of everything. You know, this entire team that we had built, our entire clientele, our service, everything, based on this decision of going really wide. And fortunately, we were able to really bring it back in, have conversations with our clients, and really drill down on who it is that we are and what we do, and really, you know, bring a quality service to our clients. But certainly that single decision there almost cost us the entire company.
Wow. And I mean, it's not every like person or entrepreneur who's at that point where they almost have to shut down because of the overload that they're getting and how they're getting stretched very thin. How are you able to keep your nerves during that time, like continue to stay strong, like in business and in life?
You know, I have an interesting approach to life, and I don't know how many people feel the same way. I would like to think a lot. I feel like as long as we are approaching decisions with the best intentions in mind, and we are coming from the right place, from a place of integrity, of wanting to serve, of really doing the best that we can. Again, coming down to optimizing potential. I feel like if, as long as we're doing that, everything and how it works out is exactly how it's meant to be. So I guess the answer to your question is, if we needed to shut down, if that's what we had gotten to, I would have accepted that. And that's what we needed to do. But I continue to make all of my decisions based on, is this coming from a place of integrity? Is it coming from a place of contribution? And am I doing the best that I can? And as long as the answer is yes, then there's really not a fear of making a bad decision. Does that make sense? So I guess I'm okay with whatever the outcome is.
And I totally understand that viewpoint. It's good things happening to good people who put in their best effort and try to make their best effort even better as they continue to put in that work.
Right.
One of the things that I love about hosting the Breakthrough Success podcast is that I get to learn from so many people like yourself. I mean, you provided us with so many great insights, but to expand our learning even more, I was wondering if you could recommend three books that you believe would have a positive impact on us.
I love reading. I'm trying to think of what would be the most impactful as a general read, you know, because it depends on how deep people want to go into different domains, whether it's learning about cryptocurrency, blockchain, or philanthropy, or, you know, social media. Or personal development. So let's see. Okay. My introduction into social entrepreneurship came from a book called Start Something That Matters by Blake Mycoskie, and he's the founder of Tom. That was a great book. Really enjoyed that. The Four Agreements is a great book. Very easy to read. You can finish it in probably 2 hours. It's simple and very profound, right? Have you read that book, Mark?
I have not read that book, actually.
Okay, definitely check it out, Four Agreements. And the last one, I would say for entrepreneurs, is probably the 4-Hour Workweek.
That I have read.
It's, you know, I don't agree with everything Tim Ferriss says and writes. However, I think it's a great introduction to what's possible as an entrepreneur, right? He gives ideas on how to create these businesses, you know, kind of giving yourself your time back. But what I like most about that book is I remember when I first read it, he was the first one that I saw really challenge the current model that exists. This current model of, you know, going to college, getting a job that you do for 30, 40 years, and at the end of this job, you know, being rewarded with retirement or something, which is, in my mind, such a broken model. I mean, you know, because you're essentially saying work, work, work your entire life in a job that you don't really like to finally get some freedom in your life to do the things that you want to do. I don't believe in that. I think that we're here to really actualize your potential and to do what we're here, you know, and enjoy the journey along the way. So I love that it really broke that initial model of feeling you have to follow this path, which there is no path, right? You get to create it.
Mike, those are some great book recommendations, Breakthrough Success listeners. If you want to get those book links and the links to the show notes, head over to markgabrie.com/e111. And I know this is going slightly outside of our conversation, but I heard you mention cryptocurrencies and blockchains for a while. This is something that we've never actually discussed on the show. What are your thoughts on that? Like, are you okay with sharing like your thoughts on where you think it's heading or anything like that?
Sure. I mean, if I got started, it would probably take us a couple hours. I actually speak quite a bit on it. What I will tell anyone that's listening is pay attention to it, and it's here to stay. Blockchain technology today is what the internet was in the 90s, and whether people understand it, whether they get it, whether they, you know, believe in it, it is absolutely going to change our future. And it is absolutely going to be integral in everything that we do. And so Bitcoin, most people have heard of Bitcoin at this point. I've been talking about it for a while, a couple of years. But at the beginning of this year is really when people started to pay attention because of obviously the value. You know, Bitcoin sits at about 16K a coin right now. But Bitcoin is the tip of the iceberg. Cryptocurrency, Ethereum, these other, they're the tips of the iceberg of what the actual technology is going to do. And so I do a bunch of Facebook Lives and free training because I really want people to understand what it is. So I just to answer your question, Mark, of what, you know, what should people do? Begin to pay attention to it. Look up some YouTube videos of what is Bitcoin, what is blockchain, what is cryptocurrency, because it is here and it's here to stay.
Mike, thank you for those pointers, because I feel like this is right now like an area that is receiving a lot of attention, especially with the start of the year as of the recording. But I do like it, there's a lot more attention towards what's happening, and I feel like we should be definitely learning more about it, because it could have a really big impact. I mean, like, obviously I say could, like, you know a lot more about it than us, so I know you like definitely has an impact. But I would like to flip the tables a little bit. So I've asked you a bunch of questions throughout our time together, and with that in mind, I'm wondering, what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
What are you here to do?
That is, I mean, that gets right to the clarity point. And it's such a simple question, but it's one that gets you to think. I love those types of questions.
Well, and let me follow that up with, I'll tell you what you're not here to do. Right? And this is for you. This is for anyone else listening. It's for me. If we're not here to just live a mediocre existence, pay some bills, do things that we don't like doing, and try to stay alive as long as we can, and then die. That I know for a fact we're not here to do. What I don't know for sure is what each individual is here to do. I know what I'm here to do. It sounds, Mark, like you know what you're here to do, at least right now. And these can change, right? But at least begin to ask that question. And it's totally okay if you don't know the answer. But just by the quality of your life depends upon the quality of the questions you ask yourself. So at least begin to ask that question of what is it that I'm here to do?
Mike, thank you for that great question of not just what am I here to do, but what I am not here to do, and for sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode. Breakthrough Success listeners, if you want to learn more about Mike, you can head over to thegreatnessfoundation.com to learn more about the foundation, and you can head over to MikeSherbakov.com to learn more about Mike as well. Mike, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast. Thank you for sharing with us all of your amazing insights.
Mark, thank you for having me on, brother. I appreciate you.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgaberti.com/retweet.